This morning we have a special affirmation of faith that goes along with our sermon series and what we will hear more about Joseph this morning. Would you join me in the affirmation of faith? We believe in a God who offers second chances and does not hold grudges. We believe in a God who opens the door to new life and leaves the porch light on for us when we get lost. We believe in a God who believes in us, believes we can make a difference, that we can choose grace over comparison, love over hate, over war. And so we strive to live our lives in love. We strive to listen as Joseph listened and to be the people that God calls us to be. It's all that easy and it's all that hard. This we believe. Amen. Would you pray with me? Holy God, Scripture tells us that you came to Joseph through an angel, loud and clear, impossible to miss. Scripture also tells us that Joseph listened. He rearranged his life to follow your invitation. God, we long for that. All of that. We long to hear your voice, loud and clear, impossible to miss. We long for invitations to something more, something deeper. And we long to be like Joseph and find the courage to follow. So clean out our ears, brush the dust off our hearts, trace us back to our roots, back to Joseph, who heard and followed. With gratitude, we listen. Amen. Hear now a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary and Joseph had promised to get married. But before they started to live together, it became clear that she was going to have a baby. She became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, was faithful to the law, but he did not want to put her to shame in public, so he planned to divorce her quietly. But as Joseph was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. The baby inside of her is from the Holy Spirit. She is going to have a son. You must give him the name Jesus. That's because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to bring about what the Lord had said would happen. He had said through the prophet, "The virgin is going to have a baby. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." The name Emmanuel means God with us. Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not sleep with her until she gave birth to a son, and Joseph gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a couple of things that are coming to my mind that I didn't write down, and I'm not usually one to go off script a little bit, so bear with me. Joseph had a big decision to make. For those of us who have gotten married, it was not a small choice. There's this reality TV show that I do not recommend you watch. But it's called The Ultimatum. And it's about one person in a couple who says, enough is enough, time is up, make a decision, or this is done. And I think this is where Joseph was. This isn't what I thought I was signing up for. This isn't what I planned. This isn't what I expected our life as husband and wife to be like. And so Joseph is in this moment where he gets to choose. And all of us have moments in our lives when we get to choose this way or that way. And sometimes this way or that way isn't right or wrong. Sometimes it's just a choice. Sometimes it's okay one way or the other. But this moment, God intervened and sent a messenger to make it loud and clear. And I know that we all wish that God would be a little more loud and a little more clear when we are trying to decide which way to go. Joseph ultimately gets to decide here to be a stepfather. I had a stepfather, and I'm sure that there were days in his life that he thought, why in the world did I agree to parent these children that I did not have to? And he might not say that, but I could imagine that he would have felt that way, that it wasn't an easy choice. And an easy choice to raise God, okay? To raise the Son of God, to raise a person who would grow up to be God with us. We have choices to make. This is the third Sunday of Advent. There are only 10 days left until Christmas. Gasp. Okay. The kids have a week left of school, or not, apparently. Are you ready? Last night, the youth had a Christmas party, and I felt myself saying, ready, get set, go, when they were playing different games. It feels like that, like we're on a race towards Christmas. Are all the decorations up? Are all your presents purchased, if not wrapped? Have you sent out your Christmas cards? If you're not ready, do not be afraid, the angel says. I bring you tidings of great joy. Mary and Joseph weren't ready either. If none of these things happen, Jesus will still come. Matthew's gospel has an abbreviated version of the narrative of Jesus' birth. Matthew's gospel doesn't place much emphasis on Mary or any of the other characters in Luke's gospel highlights. There's no preparation for the reader to understand how everything happened. No angels, no conversations between the angel of Zechariah and the angel that visited Mary. No visit from Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. No Magnificat. There's no story of the journey to Bethlehem. There are no details about there not being enough room in the inn. No manger, no shepherds. And the voices of Mary and Joseph are not included. If Advent is about waiting, think of all the silent waiting Joseph and Zechariah had to do. Zechariah waited 9 months for his son to be born just to be able to say his name. This story about Joseph is also about the name of his son. But Joseph was waiting to get married. He was hoping for all the things that marriage promises. We don't know how well Mary and Joseph knew each other. We don't know how old Joseph was, although historically we assume that he was older than Mary. We don't know how much, but we do know that Joseph was honorable. Joseph was not waiting for a son, not yet. This was unexpected. This was not the plan. Joseph shows his character by not wanting to cause Mary any shame. This was an act of love. I've been reminded recently that love is a verb. It's not a feeling. Love is a choice that we make. It doesn't just happen to us. He wanted to dismiss her quietly. He didn't want to cause her any harm. He must have been disappointed, not so much in her, but that their plans had been ruined, or so he thought. We don't know how the news was shared with Joseph that Mary was pregnant, but we can imagine that he didn't know how to respond to this unbelievable story. There is only narration of Joseph's thoughts. Joseph never speaks in Matthew or Luke's gospel, and yet God responds to his worries and concerns with messages in dreams from the angel Gabriel. God speaks to Joseph because God knows his heart. God gives Joseph peace when the angel tells him about God's plan. God knows our hearts, and God is with us to bring us peace and joy. The plan isn't off course. It just isn't going as expected. Has there ever been a time in your life when things didn't go according to plan, but then they worked out anyway? Jesus is the root of Jesse, the son of David, and his coming, his timing, his parents are not something that human beings, no matter how worthy or highly credentialed, can claim credit for. God did this. In Jesus, God assumed our humanity. This whole story is filled with mystery again and again that we proclaim that God is, that nothing is impossible with God. This is the good news that the angel brings. Do not be afraid. Your plans aren't ruined. They just aren't going the way you thought they would. Your bride-to-be is going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. The son you will name Jesus, God saves, Emmanuel, God with us, will save his people from their sin. Joseph names Mary's son. Joseph adopts him into the line of David, but things wouldn't be easy. Things wouldn't be picture perfect. The truth that Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah knew would not be known by everyone for a long time, and still most would find it hard to believe. The beginning of Mary and Joseph's story did not go according to their plan. The Holy Spirit intervened. Joseph showed compassion. Joseph was loving enough to go against the cultural expectation. The story does not go on to tell us about the role that Joseph played in his life with young Jesus. We don't know if Joseph even lived long enough to teach Jesus about carpentry, much less anything else. But we know that the love that Jesus talked about, the love he stood for, the love he died for, was just the kind of rule-changing, deep-seeing kind of love, that kind of sheltering, protecting, guiding love, that kind of patient, quiet, healing love. Love that was strong enough to grasp for something different, undeterred by conventions and expectations and limitations. And that's the love of Jesus, and the love of his father Joseph, and the love of God. In all the years since the lead up to that very first Christmas, we've surrounded the season with so many expectations of our own, so many expectations of what it means to have a Merry Christmas. But Advent invites us to let go of all those expectations. Advent calls us to remember the love of Jesus and the love of Joseph and the love of God. It calls us to let God's peace gradually warm our souls, freeing us for new expectations and the birth of something within us and for us, the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us. Advent calls us to wait for the arrival of hope and to see the shadowy outline of a new world that is just beginning to dawn. For Joseph to hear the call of God's love was the dawn of a distinctly countercultural vision. And the Christmas that lives in our heart remains profoundly countercultural too. At its core, Christmas is foreign to everything about us, but it is the power of our capacity to love and be loved. And its bold claim is that in the end, it is our capacity to love and be loved that is the most important thing about us. When we see things not going according to our plans, how can we look for the ways God is moving? God works in mysterious and unexpected ways. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. Joy is a gift of God's grace that abides with us as we trust God in every circumstance. Joy is rooted in hope. There was joy for Joseph when God's plan superseded his plan and the Messiah was born. But it was also a choice. Joy comes through and in spite of the unexpected. There was joy when he trusted God and embraced the unexpected future. We need joy, peace, hope, and love to abide when nothing else makes sense, when nothing is going according to our plans. We need to know that God is with us. We need to know that it's going to be okay. If we hold on to these virtues of our faith, if we rely on God's grace, may we choose to trust God. May we choose to find joy in the unexpected. Amen. Barbara, would you come and pray for us?
Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we come this day to give thanks to you, to praise you. We give thanks for this day, for the sunshine, and for all those who have gathered here. We give thanks for life and breath and good health. We give thanks, for you are the God of fathers and adopted parents. You are the God of angel messengers and newborn kings. As we bow our heads in prayer today with praise on our lips to you, Almighty God, who else but you, Almighty God, would pick two ordinary folks to be your son's parents? That you alone were the parent enough to lead Mary and Joseph back to one another. You assume the best of our fragile human hearts. For you alone are God. And in your faithfulness, your grace, and devotion, you alone open the door for us to a new day. A new day that is filled with your love, with your faithfulness, with your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace that gives us peace. Today we ask in prayer to help us to be like Joseph, who reminds us that grace is within reach, even in this world full of competition. Help us to choose celebration. In this world full of lack of poverty and meagerness, help us to choose abundance. In this world full of hate, help us to love. In this world of war and violence, help us to choose grace and peace. In this world of divided lines, help us to choose connection and relationship. In this world so quick to make assumptions and blame each other, to stereotype each other, help us to learn about each other and choose compassion. And in our greatest efforts to achieve or try to attain something on our own, help us to choose a better way and to be transformed by you, Lord God, into the image of your Son, Jesus. The story of Joseph may rattle something loose within us. May it loosen the need to always be right or correct or perfect. The need to always be the best, or that we are always have to have it all figured out. Instead, May it draw us closer to you, Lord God, and to our truer self, to our values and beliefs and motives, where our external person reflects our internal person. May the story of Joseph of imperfection sow grace into our bones and to our inner being. May we shake off the dust of our old selves and live into something new, something different, whereby we catch a glimpse of your love in this world. Through your love, we pray to be a little more like Joseph, but mainly, Lord, we pray to be more like you. With hope and faith in our hearts, we pray that it may be so. I pray, O Lord, also for the gifts that have been lovingly bought for the angel tree and for the children and the families who will receive them. May your love and your grace be apparent to the children, to the families. And let us also remember, Lord, those for which this is a very difficult time, those who have lost loved ones, for those, dear Lord, who find it difficult to have a Merry Christmas. Let us be ever mindful of them, but to remember that, Lord, you are the one that we come to worship this day and the reason for this season, your Son, Jesus Christ. In your loving name, we pray. Amen. And let us pray now the breakthrough prayer that we have through the community. For God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet.